All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Jags Den podcast. That in itself was hard to say because I've been doing so many other podcasts over the course of the last few days, and I almost said the back shoulder fade, which is my other podcast. So shout outs to Josh there, and shout outs to also the Obscure Reference podcast, which me and Josh do as well. But today, it's not about that. It's about the Jaguars. It's about the Jaguars wire. And I have my man, Jacob DeLawrence, with me. Phil can join us. He's actually going to check out some NXT stuff. But while he does that, me and Jacob will take care of episode 44 for the training camp edition of 2019 for the Jags. Then, Jacob, my man, how are you, man?
Man, I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
I can't complain, man. I really can't. Other than I've been ripping and running, working on just various projects, various things for the Jags Wire, various other projects outside of that, I've been good, man. I've been very consumed with other stuff and Jags related stuff. So, you know, I've been keeping busy. Can't complain. And you?
Just been busy with work. Funny thing is, I got a bunch of Google Docs open right now, a bunch of stuff I'm writing on. So, you know, just being busy, and I guess it's better to be busy than bored.
Absolutely. Definitely got to occupy the mind and just keep busy. That's my motto, at least. So that being said, of course, you all know where to find us. The site is jaguarswire.usatoday.com, at Jags Den Podcast for the podcast handle on Twitter, at the Jaguars Wire for the podcast, not the podcast, but the actual USA Today handle on Twitter, at sportsgrind_done for me on Twitter, at _Jadella for Jacob, and at Phil the Filipino for Phil. So feel free to follow all of those accounts, if you will, on Twitter. And also, you can check out our old episodes of the Jags Den, episodes 1 all the way up to 44, which is this one, on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Spotify. I think we're on Radio Public and Deezer and Himalaya as well. We just been added to Himalaya. And of course, the Audio Boom Network with our comrades at the USA Today Wire, who you can also check out their podcast on there as well. So, real quick, Jacob is going to get into the quick hits. He sounds like he had something to say real quick before that.
I was going to say, so basically, there's no reason you can't find us anywhere, because the podcasts are available there. We're there.
That exact, man. If you have a computer or a phone, if you still toting around a BlackBerry, it's no excuse. None at all, man. We there on Android. We there for Google. We're there for Apple. We're there for anything that you have. You should be able to check us out.
All you got to do is hit that like and or subscribe button and make sure you share with a friend.
Exactly. Pass it on to a friend, man. Help a brother out so we can go ahead and, you know, get this podcast popping. Not that it isn't already, but get more eyes on it.
Bojangles hadn't hit us back yet, man.
Yeah.
Waiting on that sponsorship. We threw out like episode 28.
They hit me back up and they were like, yeah, we don't do those type of sponsorships. Had we been the Jaguars, though, they probably would have sponsored us. But yeah, it would have been nice to get a tailgater's box on the house for every podcast, man. Like, we be living life.
I just want a 2-piece and a biscuit, but that's not
the
here
nor
there, man.
That's it, bro. 2-piece and a biscuit. That's what? That's on the $5 menu right there, bro.
Exactly, man. There ain't no biggie.
that's pennies for Bojangles, man. Pennies.
Yeah, speaking of pennies, that's kind of funny. That's actually going to be the subject of some of the things we talk about, because it's training camp, which means holdouts are bound all across the league. Before we get into that, let's just go ahead and hit some of these quick hits real quick. And, of course, starting off with money, Mr. Jalen Ramsey himself showed up to training camp in a Adidas-branded Brinks truck with Ha Ha Davis as his hype man. It is pouring down rain in Jacksonville that morning. And what does Jalen do? I'm going to start off training camp the only way I know how, by upsetting old man Tom Coffey.
That's exactly what it probably did.
So yeah, Jalen shows up to training camp in a Brinks truck. We've all seen it over ESPN, Fox Sports. anywhere and everywhere. It's been there, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, even your auntie has seen it at this point. So personally, me, I had no problem with it. I know I tweeted to you that the thing that caught me by surprise the most was that Jalen was in an Adidas-sponsored truck and he showed up with Adidas gear. And kudos to you for mentioning on the website a few months ago that he ended up signing with the three stripes, because last I checked, he was still a Jordan athlete. But hey, get another bag, black man.
Yeah, I caught it about, what, a month or two? Well, it was during whenever he returned. So mini camp. Yeah, mini camp is when I caught it, because he I don't think I wrote an article in particular about it, but it, you know, the video where he arrived to mini camp in the convertible car where everybody was, you know, Leonard Fournette and everybody was cracking on him. I noticed it then, all of the Adidas gear and whatnot. And I put it in that article that was talking about his entrance into mini camp. Now we're talking about an entrance into training camp. It just seemed like this dude just loved grand entrances. But yeah, man, like you, I didn't have a problem with it at all, because I mean, look, simply put, Jalen's production says he can do whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, as long as he ain't off the field pulling Tyreek Hill type of stuff, I'm cool with it. You know what I'm saying? So as long as the production match, and he has been a very good cornerback, albeit he fell off a little bit last year, he still was a top five corner at the end of the day. So, I mean, make no mistake about it, he's still been balling. And before that, in 2017, he was an All-Pro and Pro Bowler. So we're talking about a two-time Pro Bowler here, one-time All-Pro here. You know, this guy, he deserves to be able to make a grand entrance if he wants. And, I mean, all that matters at the end of the day is that he goes into camp and does what he does best, shut down people and make the roster, which we have no doubts that he will. And that being said, nothing to really complain about. I mean, of course, yeah, I can see why Tom Coughlin wouldn't like it, because he's not an antics guy. But at the end of the day, no harm, no foul there. And, yeah, I mean, I got a good laugh out of it, especially hearing Ha Ha Davis there do the announcement, man. Like, it was perfect for me. And up until today, I actually thought it was the best entrance in the training camp. But then you got dudes like Antonio Brown popping up in the Raiders camp with a hot – I think it was a hot air balloon. And then somebody pulled up to Kansas City Chiefs camp with an actual NASCAR. So, yeah, it's getting crazy out there, bro.
Listen, and that kind of is my whole point on this, so we just don't labor on this forever. It's training camp. Everybody shows up to training camp in some grand shape, form, or fashion.
Yep.
And also, this is perfectly on brand for Jalen Ramsey. I understand if it was, say, one of the McCourty twins or Tom Brady from the Patriots, or give me another low-key, quiet individual in the league, or if it was like J.J. Watt or something.
Right.
If they showed up with something like this, I'd probably be like,
Yeah, what are you doing? Like, the guy that showed up in the NASCAR, with the NASCAR, he's a low-key guy. I'm going to have to look that up, too. But continue as I look that up real quick.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's Jalen Ramsey, his own brand. You knew what you got when Jalen Ramsey, when you drafted him. He was loud and talked that talk in college. He's done nothing but continue in the pros. It is par for the course.
Yeah. His name was Anthony Sherman, by the way. I think he's their fullback. Gosh. Yeah, like, it took me by surprise. I'm like, who is this guy? But, I mean, hey, look.
Hey, man, it's training camp. Let's have some fun.
Yeah, why not? Especially in Jags training camp. Leon Searcy told us, any Tom Coughlin-related camp, which is, you know, in this case, it's Doug Marrone camp, but any Tom Coughlin related camp is hell. So you might as well have fun going into it, because when you get in, it ain't going to be no fun in games at all.
Exactly. So Mike Freeman tweeted the other day when training camps were first opening, he was like, and this will probably be the, he said, and this is the last day they'll be 100% until probably this time next year, because it's all downhill from here.
Yes. Especially in Florida with that heat, man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Have some fun. You're going to die in the Florida heat anyway. It's no big deal. I think I saw on Levitard's show, they're like, this is coming from the same guy who said he was going to stop talking about other quarterbacks. Yeah, because he's about to get paid. So he's going to shut up about other quarterbacks, because if the Jags will pay him, he might have to go team up with one of these other quarterbacks, which I doubt will ever happen. So, right. Yeah, he said he's just going to tone down his trash talking about other people. And I promise you, give it to about week six, somebody will provoke him and we'll be right back to square one. So again, no problem, no issue, no harm, no foul. Let's have some fun. It's July in Florida.
Exactly. I mean, and Deion Sanders even talked about it. He's like, you know, My personal way to go about things, and I talked to Jalen about this because he was a Deion Sanders came to training camp as a guest for the first day, but he was saying, you know, my approach was not to talk noise to people. So maybe Jalen's just picking up on, you know, learning from his one of the guys he's looked up to. Maybe he's learning from Deion to lay back on the trash talk to the quarterback, or it might be, like you said, a case of him just like, hey, I might have to play with one of these guys, which we highly doubt because, well, obviously next year he can't because he's on the fifth-year option. They signed that at least. So maybe after that, maybe. But, I mean, we're banking on Jalen Ramsey, especially when all of these defensive linemen are gone. These veteran guys, we're banking on Jalen Ramsey being able to be the highest-paid cornerback in Jacksonville. But, hey, that's neither here nor there.
Yep. And next up is something very interesting that – shouldn't surprise anybody, but nonetheless, the Jaguars are basically being cheap because Yannick Ngakoue has refused to report to camp because he is holding out for a new contract.
Yep.
They put him on the reserve, did not report list, so basically he's not taking up a roster spot. Doug Marrone stated that he's in contact with Jan, understands it's a business-related matter, as talks are going on in regards to said contract, and he's going to let the front office handle it. He also says that he expects Yannick to eventually report because Yannick has to show up at least a month before week one of the regular season in order to accrue a year of service toward free agency in 2020. So, yeah, Yannick's going to report. The question is he going to report in 2 days? Is he going to report in a week? Hold on. Let me see when week one of the NFL starts so I can see exactly what the way is.
Closer to and Philip Heilman, shout out to Philip, who is now with The Athletic, formerly of the Florida Times Union, but he's still covering the Jags through The Athletic. He said he believes Yannick will report around the August 6th date, which I'm assuming that's around that 30-day mark before the regular season. So August the 6th-ish, if I had to guess. But if Yannick, and he's a hard worker, he's one of those guys that doesn't like to be away from the team too long. He might just, you know, feel the urge to come sooner than that. But I wouldn't if I was him. That's just me.
Yeah. Week one is September the 5th. It's the first NFL game. So we're going to assume week one probably starts a little earlier in that week, technically by league standards.
Right.
But if we're going off September the 5th, the latest that he can hold out to is August the 2nd. He has to report in camp by August the 2nd. That is 30 days prior to week one.
Right. So, yeah.
So he's got a week.
Basically, yeah.
Give or take.
And Doug Marrone seems to be aware that he's expecting him. Something really quick that I want to get into is, and I wanted to talk about this on a podcast later, but do you notice, am I the only one? Because others have too, a few have. Have you noticed that Doug Marrone is kind of distancing himself from the ways of Tom Coughlin and kind of echoing Tom Coughlin? Like, he just seems to be more like doing, I don't want to say doing his own thing, because obviously, you know, he still works with Tom Coughlin and Dave Caldwell. But, you know, a guy that is basically a yes man to Tom Coughlin would have said the same thing that Tom Coughlin would have said, and that's, hey, he should be here. Marrone strayed away from that, and he's kind of been straying away from, you know, echoing Tom Coughlin at least this year, too. It kind of seems like he's distancing himself, rightfully so. I don't blame him in this situation from some of the ways of Tom Coughlin. Would you agree?
I definitely agree, but also at the same time, it's July. Training camp just started.
Right.
And there's some things where he's distancing himself, but because he's doing it strictly from a football standpoint of, oh, that's a front office matter. Go talk to them. I've talked to my player. I understand it. So it's like, yeah, he's distancing himself, but also he's kind of just like, hey, it's front office. Right. Whereas in the past, it would have been, oh, well, you know, we expect him here. It would have been the Coughlin spill. It would have been like Coughlin was literally a puppet master and Marrone was a puppet, for a lack of better explanation.
Yeah, but I mean,
yeah,
even
I do
like,
see what you're saying.
Even though, like, with the Telvin Smith and the Jalen Ramsey situation earlier when they weren't at OTAs, you know, Tom Coughlin said what he said, that they both should be here. But when they asked Marrone, it was like, hey, well, the key word there is mandatory. Is mandatory. And I think he even went as far as saying, don't quote me on that, I've spoken with those guys. And like I said, it's mandatory. So I try and worry about who is here as opposed to who's not here. And that's kind of a very different tone than Tom Coughlin took as to, yeah, they should be here. So that's why I was saying that even before like today or this week, it just kind of seems like he's, you know, he's not against the players as Tom Coughlin is on certain matters.
Yeah, definitely. So like you said, he's going against the grain, and it's kind of interesting because that tells me one or two things. Either he knows he's on his way out if this year doesn't go right.
And I'm not laughing at anybody getting fired, but I'm just saying like, yeah, that a coach can sense that kind of thing.
Yeah, like I think he knows the seat is going to get warm really, really quick for him.
Right.
And maybe this may tie into that one. Maybe he just doesn't care anymore to an extent.
Right.
Like it became, you were in an interim, you were just temporary. We weren't sure if you were going to stay. You had a good year. Still questions. You had a horrible year coming off an extremely good year. And you survive, so now it's kind of like, all right, whatever. At this point, if you fire me, you fire me. I lasted longer than I should have in my mind. Mm-hmm. Or if I stay, I'd stay. But at this point, I can be free and be myself. So maybe he survived the storm, and he's just like, hey, I'm just going to speak honest and openly as much as possible. Or maybe he just doesn't care because if I'm gone, I might as well go out my way.
Yeah, not only that, but maybe, you know, maybe he's getting the sense that, like, he needs to be, and not to say he wasn't before, but to even be more so a player's coach. Because when you have for example, when you have players who aren't really that big of fans of the front office, it kind of makes for a difficult organizational situation. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I think he understands that, like, not that he necessarily has to side with the players more, but he has to be likable to the players that he coach. I think he's starting to realize that, and like that he shouldn't probably to an extent associate himself with Tom Coughlin in certain matters, because at the end of the day, Tom Coughlin doesn't have to coach these people. He's just in the front office. I, Doug Marrone, have to go and be in the locker room and coach this team, and I have to have camaraderie. I have to have a better situation because at the end of the day, like you said, my job kind of depends on it, you know? So I think he's looking at it from that perspective too, personally.
I mean, yeah, that's basically what it breaks down to. So we shall see with Doug Marrone, how this season pans out and what comes from it. Yeah. Same can be said for Coughlin.
I like Marrone personally
as well.
So I'm rooting for Marrone at least. I like him. I mean, I like the hard nose, you know, coaching that he gives. And not only that, but like I've always felt like he's done a lot with nothing. Like Doug Marrone is a guy that's managed to do decent with. And somebody else mentioned this earlier. Do you notice that Doug Marrone has never had a good quarterback since forever? Even back in Syracuse, I don't even know who his quarterback was. It might have been Ryan Nassib. But do people notice that Doug Marrone has – Nick Foles might be the best quarterback that he's had. And up until that point, Blake Bortles was the best quarterback that he arguably had in the professional realm.
All right, let's see. He was at Syracuse from 2009 to 2012. You know what? We're going to come back to this at the end of the episode because I really want to do a deep dive into this real quick.
Yeah, that's
so we'll come back to this one.
It's a good topic, have a point. Man. Yeah, man. Like I say, man, what he's been able to do with nothing, like I think the man could be possibly a Super Bowl coach if he finally had a quarterback. I mean, he has a defense now, but I mean, I guess we'll dive into that later, I guess.
I mean, he was, you know, Miles Jack wasn't down and a little bit of this and a little bit of that way for being a Super Bowl.
It's the Patriots giving the referees a couple extra dollars, you know. Yeah.
But, you know, we're not going to get into that today. We're not going to get into that. Right. But speaking of the Jaguars defense and key players on the defensive side of the ball, Telvin Smith, we all know his situation by now. Those that have listened have heard my thoughts along with James, and I believe we may have gotten Phil's thoughts on an episode about it. But basically, Devin Smith, like you said, is not playing this year. Mm. And the Jaguars, after me and you discussed exactly what they could do with Telvin, they decided to place him on the reserve / retired list. And all that basically says is he doesn't take up a roster spot, doesn't count against the cap. We own your rights. You can't be fined for not being here.
Right. And when you come back, You have to come back on the, I guess the word is the occurred year. So he has to, if he comes back next year, he has to play on this year's terms of his deal.
Right. So if he's currently on year three of his deal, when he comes back next year, he'll still be on year three, year three of the deal. So basically, more or less, it works out for everybody. Telvin Smith isn't losing money out of his pocket while he's dealing with his personal matters. The Jags aren't taking a cap hit and aren't losing a roster spot. Everybody wins. Kumbaya. Yeah. We'll see how long until the front office manages to mess this up.
Right. Get that money to Yannick. I almost said a cuss word. I had to catch myself. But give that money to Yannick, okay? Jesus, don't make this hard. Which,
that he frees up roughly $10 million in cap space, which moves the Jags up if they're able to recoup all of it this year, depending upon the technicalities of the language and everything. The Jags should have roughly right about $18.5-19 million in cap space for the 2019 season.
It'd so, be even more if Blake Bortles wouldn't occupy dead cap space, but that's neither here or neither there.
Yeah, well, you know how that goes.
Right.
So basically, the Jags have a little bit of flexibility, and they can either use that to help sign Gannick if kind of front-load his deal, or they can maybe go pick up a free agent or make a trade. Point is, it gives them options and flexibility while maintaining the rights to arguably a top-five player on that defense.
Right.
Basically. So, hey, win-win situation.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
Yep. And next up, again, in regards to the defensive side of the ball, the Jags placed linebacker Jake Ryan on the NFI list, which is the non-football injury list. He was expected to be rated per Marone, but apparently he had a setback. He'll be on the list indefinitely. Maybe we should see him, hopefully, in the preseason. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Oh, yeah, it's hard to tell because it sounded like Marone was unsure, too, of, like, he didn't give a timeline. But in a way, I mean, and you don't want to put words – I'm not putting words into Marone's mouth, but it sounded like it might be a while. And need I remind people, this is the ACL that Jake Ryan – he initially tore it one time in Michigan when he was with the Wolverines in 2013. After that, he tore it again, and that was, last season – during around the time of the regular season starting, he tore it again, the same one, which was his right one. According to reports, he tore it in Green Bay. So, you know, as for the setback, you know, he didn't really specify what it was or what happened, but being that he's on the NFI list, and I actually kind of misquoted this the first time on when I reported it, but it happened away from the facility. That's what the NFI list means. It's a non-football injury that took place outside of the Jaguars facility. So this is something that happened during, it sounds like phase three, which was OTAs and minicamp, but it didn't happen at the facility. So this is, you know, a very a murky situation that we don't know a lot about. And it's kind of concerning, to say the least. But at the same time, like, I don't think they really signed. I don't know the figures off the top of my head, but Jake Ryan's contract wasn't like a massive one. I think it was a 1-year deal or something like that. I don't know, Jacob. You can go ahead and chime in real quick while I look that up, actually. Let's see
here. I mean, yeah, you basically covered everything. Jake Ryan was a standout at Michigan, towards ACL, comes back a little bit later, tears the same ACL. Non-football injury, it happened away from the facility. It happens, basically.
Yeah, so we know, just, sometimes it does, yeah.
We'll see. If I'm not mistaken, it wasn't anything to the nature of, I believe, Steve Nash and tripping over the luggage, like trying to answer the doorbell, so.
Yeah. So yeah, it's looking like it might have been a 2-year deal. I'm going over the cap real quick because they got him down for 2019 and 2020. So I'm assuming it was a 2-year deal. Let's see.
His base salary for the 2019 season was $1 million with $250,000 signing bonus. So basically, would have been a cap hit of 1.2. Next year's $5 million. Right. Same signing bonus. If he makes the roster, there's a $500,000 bonus. Basically, it would be about $6 million in cap hit.
Right. And it wouldn't surprise me.
It's nothing, basically.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me also if it's an option
It is. 2020 is an option.
Okay, so yeah, they can Austin Seferian Jenkins him, if you will, like they did with Austin this year. So yeah, I mean, like, even if he, you know, it looks like they set themselves up well financially when they made this deal. Like, hey, this guy's coming off an ACL injury. You know, it's a you know, a low term contract in terms of financially. And hey, we might can even get a starting caliber player or a very good player that Dom Capers, who's the defensive advisor, knows very well from Green Bay. So it's a win-win. We can't really, you know, by throwing this contract at him, it's not like we're going to take a significant cap hit. But at the same time, we do have the opportunity to have somebody who was ascending during his time at Green Bay until the injury occurred, of course.
Exactly so. No big deal. If it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, nobody's really coming out negative.
Not really. Even Jake Ryan, you know, he got some money, even if he don't take the field. You know, he got a little something in his pocket, you know, and it didn't really hurt the Jags that much. Win-win.
And speaking of hurt Jags, Marquise Lee and Cam Robinson are currently sitting on the PUP list as they recover from knee injuries. Marquise, I believe, had his knee, what was it, scoped?
Nah, he had, well, he didn't, that's the thing, the details on his knee injuries aren't out, but he said, quoting him, that he had a quote-unquote big knee surgery. And I mean, when you look at that injury from week 3 against the Falcons, when DeMonte Kazee hit him on the knee, it looked, yeah. I mean, it looked bad then. So, I mean, like, we could just only assume that it was just very extensive. That's why, like, we're sitting here talking about it now, because that was almost, that was training camp of last year, week 3 of the preseason.
Basically a year ago.
Yeah, man. So, like, he's still trying to recover from it. And, you know, that's not to say that he won't or he will or whatever the case may be. I'm just saying we can gather this from his mouth and from looking at the injury, as gruesome as it was, that it was a pretty bad knee injury. So there's that.
Yeah, so it was probably another cleanup surgery, little setback. It happens. And also, this is training camp. There's no need to rush Marquise Lee back.
Nope. Especially when we talked about that with the receivers, with the condition they're in. And I mean, although they didn't have the pads on, they flourished, so to speak. They flourished to the point where people are concerned about the safety position and saying, hey, we need Eric Berry, because the safeties were getting not necessarily Ronnie Harrison, but Gerard Wilson, he was getting kind of beat bad back there. So, yeah.
Yeah, man, just got to shake the rust off. That's all. Yeah. And Cam Robinson is still out recovering from the ACL injury, because Cam went down, I believe it was week 2 or 3 against the Patriots. Just when Cam went down.
Yeah, he went 2. That was like 2 weeks after Lee's.
And I mean, with Cam, that's a big man. He's going to play a key part of the offensive line, whether it's left tackle, right tackle, guard. He has the flexibility. He's going to be a key factor. Right. No need to rush him back.
It'll probably be left tackle, definitely, with Juwan at right and Andrew Norwell at guard, left guard, Linder at center, and A.J. Cann, who they just re-signed this year, at right guard. Yeah, but another thing real quick, I want to ask you about this. Wouldn't you definitely agree that they need Cam Robinson more than Marquise Lee back before the regular season? Because technically, we talked about this on the last podcast with Marquise Lee. Really, they could put Marquise on IR, even, you know, so they don't like have to rush him back into the, you know, into the mix. They could really technically put him on IR and say, hey, look, man, we'll let you come back 100%. We'll get you back in 6 weeks or whatever it is. We'll reactivate you. But, you know, the argument can't be made for Cam Robinson in terms of that same situation. They need him. They need Cam Robinson because, for one, Josh Wells, in my opinion, really nobody has a good backup left tackle, for one. So we're not expecting, you know what I'm saying? We're not expecting him to be Joe Thomas or anything, but he struggled. And furthermore, aside from struggling, the other issue with it is Josh Wells has kind of had to deal with injuries himself. So, like, I almost feel like they really need Cam Robinson back, although, you know, they can't rush him back, of course, but you know, you would think they can't go too long without him in the regular season. So it's like they almost can't put him on IR.
Oh, yeah, you're definitely right. However, let's just look at the receiving core real quick. DeeDee Westbrook, Michael Walker, Marcus Sims, Terrell Pryor, Trey McBride, Raphael Leonard, Chris Conley, Keelan Cole, DJ Chark, Ty Brady, CJ Board. Those are your receivers. Westbrook, Pryor, Conley, Cole, Chark. You throw in Marquise Lee, that's six receivers right there. Mm-hmm. Basically, yeah, you need Cam Robinson more than you need Marquise Lee.
Yeah.
However, I can make the argument that Marquise Lee will have a greater impact than Cam Robinson. But like needing come week one, who do I need out there right now? I need Cam Robinson. Who do I believe will have more of an impact and help me more down the road is Marquise Lee. Because Foles, even if Cam can't hold Foles' left side, Foles is enough of a quarterback where he can escape and make things work, where you can kind of mask to an extent Cam Robinson if he's not able to do his job. Now, if this was Blake Bortles under center, then Gab will tell you right now, I need Cam Robinson, and Cam Robinson will have a larger impact. But right now, we need Cam back by week one. Take your time. Large impact down the season, Marquise Lee. I will probably be wrong, and I will probably have to come back on here and admit that I was wrong.
Yeah, I would say, yeah. Well, for Blake Bortles, I think that you would need him, Cam Robinson, more so, not because of the mobility, because obviously he's more mobile than Nick Foles, but for the run game's sake is why you would need Cam Robinson if Blake Bortles was back there. Nick Foles, you might can, you know, dial up some stuff to be more successful as a predominantly passing team, is kind of how I see it. So, yeah, I mean, they need Cam Robinson, though, regardless of who's back there, to be honest with you. And, yeah, I think, yeah, you might be right on that. Like, he would be, Lee would be the more impactful in the end, although I'm not expecting a lot from Lee this year, to be honest with you, but I see where you're coming from is what I'm saying.
Yeah. So, but yeah, Cam Robinson, week one, need you in uniform, need you out there on that first offensive drive. And let's see. And with Marquise Lee and Cam Robinson being out for training camp due to going on the PUP list, that opened up two spots in the Jaguars sign, Josh Robinson, Anthony Fish Smithson. Fish is a nickname.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what the official page put, man, like on their Twitter account. And then that's what all the other articles, which I think I might have put the second article up on the signing in terms of like the whole like internet and Google. But yeah, like everybody else refers to him as quote unquote Fish. Don't know how he got that name. I bet you Wikipedia could tell you, even though like, you know, we shouldn't, as journalists, we shouldn't use Wikipedia, but for the sake of this podcast, we probably could find out why or how he got that name through Wikipedia. Don't know how, though.
Yeah. So basically, this kind of goes back to what you were saying in regards to the secondary getting burnt by the receivers. One is a safety, the other one's a DB. It's just adding training camp numbers so everybody doesn't get worn out. Maybe we'll see if one of them makes the roster. Right. Smithson has only made a roster once, and that was 2017 with the Redskins. He played in two games in December. He picked up a tackle, so who knows? Right. He has a chance to show out in the preseason and maybe make it on the back end. Mm-hmm. And whereas Robinson played at UCF. A
veteran, right? I think.
Seven
years.
Third round pick of the 2012 draft. Mm-hmm. Spent a few years in Minnesota, the Bucks, right. Saints. He's a solid journeyman. Mm-hmm. He'll more than likely force somebody off of the roster if everything goes right.
Yeah, he feels like Tyler Patman to me, you know, in terms of that veteran guy behind the starting three, which is Hayden, Boye, and Jalen Ramsey. He feels like Tyler Patman, who recently, actually this week, he signed with the Miami Dolphins, I think, Patman signed with. So he finally got signed. But, yeah, like, he brings that, like, in terms of experience, he brings that Tyler Patman, like, experience to the secondary, especially at cornerback. Because, like you said, and I've said before that, I think one of the things that people came out scratching their heads with or saying is a questionable spot is the cornerback position behind A.J. Boye, behind Jalen Ramsey, and behind Nickelback, DJ Hayden. I mean, Quentin Meeks, they said it looked decent, but Trey Herndon has kind of struggled, and you can even see Trey Herndon, he was getting burnt in one of the videos I saw today, actually, and with Nick Foles going deep to Chris Conley, I think. Shout outs to Misto Cristo for posting that from formerly from Locked On Jags. But yeah, like just from what I've heard and read, and I guess in the case of that video, seen Trey Herndon has kind of struggled, and that spot could be open. So we're looking at, what, five cornerbacks probably. And like I said, Tyler Patman's no longer with the team. He's going to Miami, if I can recall correctly. So I'm thinking like Ramsey, Boye, Hayden, of course. I'll say Quentin Meatsticks, and I'll probably say maybe Robinson got a chance of all of these guys to be that number five guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically how I see it as well. So it's just a matter of show up to training camp, do your job, and things should play out how they're supposed to. However, with this being training camp, you can always bet money that somebody's going to come out of nowhere.
That's true. It's always it. Last year, speaking of Trey Herndon, it was Trey Herndon. That's who it was. This year, he's not reportedly not looking too high. I mean, me and Jacob will get to see for ourselves. Hopefully later this week we'll go for the last 2 days and hopefully with Phil. So we'll hopefully, you know, we'll get to see with our own eyes. But yeah, Trey Herndon was that guy last year. It's always that guy. Before that, it was Tyler Patman. Speaking of Tyler Patman. So every year, you know, it's always a guy. And before that, it was Doran Grant. So I always expect that guy to pop out of nowhere, especially in the secondary, and make the team as a surprise guy.
Yeah, I mean, in a sense, you can't have too many corners or too many members of the secondary, because depending upon skill set, you can easily flip one if necessary. Somebody gets hurt.
Right.
It happens.
So. And it's such a pass happy league. It's, you know, you kind of got, you don't have to value them like pass rushers, but you got, they're in that class, in that, you know, somewhere in that ballpark in terms of how you have to look at them.
Exactly. And now that is it for quick hits, which may have been kind of quick. Who knows? Now we're going to get into the meat of the issues, the things that we really came here to talk about, that I know everybody that listens to the Jags Den and everybody that subscribes to the Jags Wire and that follows us was just waiting to hear our thoughts and opinions on. And we're going to start with none other than Yannick Ngakoue not getting paid his money.
We still stuck on it, and we're not gonna drop it either.
So news came out that Jags reportedly offered Yannick a short-term deal that basically shook out to about $19 million a year, would have made him the fourth highest pass rusher in the league. A lot of people say, hey man, take your money, this is a solid deal. How do you feel, James?
Well, I wrote about it in the article. I feel that, I mean, like, a lot, when Pelissero announced this, the report, well, he tweeted it, should I say. It's a lot of gray area and a lot of unknowns behind it, okay? We do know it was a short-term deal. Don't know what that is. I'm thinking, like, you would have to guess 3 years. And then average per year, it might have been, like he said, it was $19 million. But you have to ask yourself, if the average per year is $19 million, how much is this guaranteed? You know, it's, I think the report said it would pay out $50 million in the first 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, with players, it's all about, of course, it's about guarantees. If $50 million was guaranteed in this case, he still shouldn't have took it, in my opinion, because you look at this is what really has caused him to hold out, is looking at DeMarcus Lawrence and Frank Clark and the deals they got this summer or this spring, this offseason, basically. Both of those guys are getting paid $62 million guaranteed. Over $62 million guaranteed. I'm sorry, excuse me. Over $62 million guaranteed. The totality of their contracts pays out, which we know they won't get to the end of their five-year deals, because they'll probably get extensions before that, or retire or leave for another team or be released, whatever the case may be. But the totality of those deals pay over, if I'm not mistaken, over $102 million. So it's no need for Yannick Ngakoue. And a lot of people are going to go to the cap situation, which the Jags have like roughly 7 to 8 million in cap space. Now with Telvin Smith's situation, if they choose to recoup that money from him, they'll have, like we said, roughly 18 million point like 5.3 or some change like that. So I said all of that to say this. There's no reason for Yannick Ngakoue to take a deal that significantly less than my man Lawrence and Clark in terms of guarantees especially. And he's probably looking for more long-term security too, is another thing. Is, you know, you kind of want that security over the course of, you know, a longer deal. Not that he necessarily wants a five-year deal. Maybe, you know, they're a year off. Maybe they want a four-year deal. You know, or I'm sorry, maybe he wants a four-year deal in his camp. Ari Nassim, I think, is his agent from Roc Nation. So maybe they're shooting for like one more year on the deal and some more guarantees in there to get closer to that $65 million range. So I don't think that he's necessarily, I don't know that he's necessarily looking to be the highest paid at the position. But I do know the Jaguars probably need to get closer to that $64-65 million guaranteed range for him, and probably, you know, 4 years for him to take the deal. And you can't blame him, because as Jalen Ramsey said, the money is always there, my guy. Don't be fooled by the salary cap. John Isaac has shown us time and time again how fake the salary cap is. He's a salary cap expert. That's one thing working against the Jags here, is they have such a good salary cap expert in John Isaac. He's shown us how fake salary cap is and how moldable it is, to the point where, like, you know, and plenty of agents will tell you this. The salary cap is, to a degree, I don't want to say all the way, but to a degree, the salary cap is fake. And the salary cap in some aspects is made for the players to, or the ones that believe in it, to ask for less or see it as, hey, you know, this guy's getting money, that guy's getting money, I can't get my money, you know. It's somewhat of an illusion. And Yannick Ngakoue obviously isn't falling for it. He shouldn't, because the money is there, especially with Telvin Smith situation now. That definitely helps. So, I mean, and Pete Prisco did say, like, he talking to the people at camp today or yesterday, he did. And Pete Prisco is a very trustworthy guy with the Jaguars. He did say that he feels like a deal would get done. It really don't seem like they're that far off when looking at Pelissero's report. Really, you know, like I said, you talk about adding a year or two on there, and maybe in terms of the average per year, you know, upping it to 21-ish, 20-ish. But all that matters is that guaranteed money. They got to get closer to $65 million in terms of guarantees, and they have to provide more security in terms of a longer-term deal, probably a year or two more than 3 years. So that's where I'm at on it.
Yeah, I mean, let's just look at this real quick. Yannick was a third round pick in the 2016 draft. Yep. Came out of Maryland. He's already outperformed his draft pick, his place. He already caused us to ship off Dante Fowler. Whether you want to admit to it or not, that was a large part of the reason why Fowler got out of town.
Mm-hmm. Yannick took his spot in one game. In one game, when Yannick was drafted, they both took the field. What was it, 2016, the first game? And if I'm not mistaken, in the second game, Yannick Ngakoue was the starter, while Fowler was the starter in that first game. If I can recall correctly, it's so many games that I've seen of the Jags that my memory is a blur sometimes. And a lot of them have been terrible games. So work with me, y'all. Work with me.
So, I mean, he's outperformed. He's said no off-the-field issues. He's currently set to make $2 million this year,
which is ridiculous. His base,
yeah, it's a steal. His base salary, based off of all 4 years of his contract, have been $450,000, $605,000, $735,000, $2.0 million. It's basically $2 million. Mm-hmm. It's some change. I mean, pay the man.
Yeah.
And like you mentioned, the salary cap isn't real. I'm honestly waiting for the day where football and basketball, well, mostly football, take the baseball approach and just say, you know what, forget a salary cap. Set your own payroll. But I hope your pockets are deep enough.
You know the owners ain't going to allow that, not the NFL owners, because they don't want to open the books. That's why they don't want to open the books. They don't want people to know, like, that this salary cap, I mean, that's part of the reason. They also don't want people to know they cheating people out of stadiums, which me and you talked about outside of the Jags then, by the way, with the Falcons Stadium. The NFL, the owners will, they want some type of restriction, and the players know better. They know that the salary cap's kind of an illusion. But I don't think the owners will ever allow an NFL without a salary cap, to be honest with you. But that's another probably, that's another subject for another time.
Probably not. But even then, people will hear no salary cap and like, oh my God, it's the Wild Wild West. It'll only be like three quality teams.
Right.
Look at baseball. Baseball has rules and regulations in place that while there's no salary cap, it's just not like, oh, I'm going to go open my checkbook and right. go get everybody I want.
Right.
So, I mean, to bring right. this back to Yannick, just pay the man.
Yeah.
Numbers lie. And they really lie in sports.
I didn't mean to cut you off. Another thing, and an agent will tell you, this is the thing, an agent will tell you, okay, if you want to use this salary cap argument, okay, tell me what y'all have available and I'll work around it. Like literally, I will work with what you have and I will structure this deal if you want to play the salary cap card in a way that you can pay my player. So, I mean, in this case, Yannick, they can structure his deal like Frank Clark's deal, where it's kind of like the cap hit for this year is like $5 million or $6 million or something like that. Then comes the $20 million cap hits after this year. They could take that approach. I mean, you know, maybe
literally,
yeah,
backloaded. Like when you play, for those that play video games, like when you play NBA 2K, MLB The Show, when you negotiate contracts, it's usually like a little option when you're playing franchise, where it's like, what type of contract? Front loaded, back loaded, mm-hmm. base pay level. It's the same concept here.
Right.
You can honestly sign this man to a, let's say, a 4-year extension, 3 guaranteed. The last year is a team option or a player option, whatever. So basically, you'll keep him at his salary rate now. Let's say you give him $65 million guaranteed. You may give him $15 million this year. That doesn't count against the cap. Cool. Fine right. and dandy.
Right.
All you're doing is just pushing back when you got to open up the checkbook.
Right.
That's it. So when you get to year two, oh, guess what? You know what? The Jags have come to terms with Yannick Ngakoue in regards to a restructured deal. It's mm-hmm. the Tom Brady approach. You literally sign the contract. It's set in stone. When you get to the point where it's going to start really causing you financial issues, just restructure it. Yep. And if you can't come to terms with them, you see if it's cheaper to cut them or you try to trade them.
Yep. So and he ain't but 24, man. So he can get a backloaded deal because, I mean, like, he's only 24 years. He ain't even reached the age of 25 yet.
Oh, here's another kicker. He's not a running back. He's a defensive lineman or a linebacker, right. however you want to classify him.
Yeah.
They're not a dime a dozen in this league.
Mm-hmm. Especially they. Now, oh, it's funny you said that. Especially not a dime a dozen for the Jacksonville Jaguars, who have struggled for a decade. Before Calais Campbell and Yannick was here, they struggled mightily to find pass rushers. They had to go into free agency and get Aaron Kampman, who unfortunately tore his ACL. I think it was the year they signed him or a year after they signed him. So, you know, that just goes to show you, we haven't had a premier pass rusher since the days of Tony Bradkins and Marcus Stroud and John Henderson. You do the math of that gap between those guys and Calais and Yannick. That tells you how hard it was for the Jags to find franchise pass rushers.
And again, this is an NFL where the Rams and the Chiefs played Monday Night Football and put up basically, I think it was a combined 100 points on the scoreboard.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Let's look at the rules are set where you can't hit a quarterback. You are already behind the eight ball, playing from behind as a defense. So you mean to tell me, let's just look at the AFC. You have Lamar Jackson, you have Phillip Rivers, you have Tom Brady, you have Patrick Mahomes, you have Deshaun Watson. Depending upon which version shows up, you have Marcus Mariota, you got Big Ben, you have Baker Mayfield. Like, you may not see all of these quarterbacks, but there's a plethora of very respectable quarterbacks in this league,
mm-hmm.
especially in the conference. And I mean, let's just look at the NFC and let's just assume, let's say you got Breeze, you have Rodgers, you got Cam, you got Matt Ryan. There's a lot of highly skilled quarterbacks.
Right.
And you mean to tell me you don't want to pay arguably one of the top we'll say Yannick is a top 25 player under the age of 25 in the league. I'll go out on that limb and say it.
Top 15. If we're talking under 25, probably yeah, top
under 25. I say top 15, top 25. He's definitely top 10 on the defensive side of the ball. So, I mean, just pay the man.
Right. Right.
I understand why, from the Jaguars standpoint, you're like, oh, we offered him $19 million. I get it. You're trying to put PR. You're trying to create a spin where it's like, right. Hey,
exactly.
We came out here and we were like, hey, we offered him a short-term deal. Not going to release the specifics, mm-hmm. but we offered him a deal where it would have made him mm-hmm. in the top five highest paid.
Right.
It gave him $50 million guaranteed money, and we just basically made his salary 10 times higher. Yep. He's making $2 million now. You would give him 19. We basically made his salary 10 times higher.
They make him look like the bad guy in his agent.
Exactly. It's playing the spin game, mm-hmm. and at the end of the day, you might be right. They may be off a year. I'm assuming Yannick probably wants 4 years. He'll probably take three if the fourth year is a player option. The Jags are probably like, we'll give you two in a possible.
Right. And in their defense, man, like I said, they might be closer than people think. And when Prisco says something like, you know, when it concerns the Jaguars, at least you could take it for what it's worth. So, I mean, I think, you know, like when it comes to the Jags, Prisco's pretty spot on, in my opinion. I think it gets done personally. And dude, something else to consider here, too, is, OK, we are, you know, Taylor Lewan is going to be suspended for the game that they face the Jags, right?
Mm-hmm.
The left tackle. Well, Yannick Ngakoue has struggled against Taylor Lewan. So we got to, and not only that, the Jaguars have struggled against the Tennessee Titans. That has always been their my biggest gripe with them is they losing too many games to the Titans, and most of that was due to Blake Bortles. But you are possibly, if Taylor Lewan isn't reinstated or whatever the case may be, you're looking at a situation where you can finally beat, especially to open the season, you could beat the Titans, but you need Yannick Ngakoue there to do it, okay? And it's much easier when Yannick Ngakoue doesn't have to go against Taylor Lewan. He'll be going against, I looked it up, it's freaking Austin Pastor, who, I mean, we should know as Jags fans, he used to be a backup with us. He'd have to go against, like, Austin Pastor, according to the depth chart. That's easy money right there.
It's not even about beating the Titans. You have the option. You have a chance to just hit Mariota. That has been the biggest problem against the Titans. You really couldn't hit Mariota or get to him.
That's true, because of the bookends he has, Lewan and Jack Conklin.
Yeah, he's missing a bookend. You can tee off of Mariota, and let's just say you hit him. Let's say you get 10 good hits on him.
He ain't the same player, right?
So I mean.
Yeah,
you got to pay the man, basically.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the one last thing to go to talk about before we even move on is a lot of people have made the argument that, hey, he's not Yannick. I'm talking about here's not good against the run or as good against the run as Frank Clark or, say, DeMarcus Lawrence or whatever. But like Jacob said, this is a pad type league, you know, and if you ask Tom Brady, you ask, and Mike Tomlin has praised Yannick Ngakoue. You go around the league, you ask these coaches and you ask these players who you need to watch out that's not named Calais Campbell on that defensive line, they're going to tell you Yannick Ngakoue. So screw his abilities against the run. I'm not just saying completely screw that, because you have to play better against the run, of course. But he's only 24. He also can get better against the run, by the way. But you ask league-wide, you ask the people that matter, the people that have faced this young man or been on the opposite side of the field, who is a name on that roster or especially on that defensive line that you need to watch, not named Calais Campbell, they're going to tell you Yannick Ngakoue, especially with Telvin Smith gone now. Of course, you know, they'll say Jalen Ramsey too, but Jalen Ramsey's job doesn't matter if nobody can get heat on the quarterback. You need this young man. He's supposed to be a part of your nucleus heading forward. And the Jags defense, I believe he will be. You need this young man to be a key part of your nucleus heading forward with between him, Jalen Ramsey, and Miles Jack, all of whom came from the same draft class, 1, 2, and 3 in terms of rounds. You need that nucleus heading forward. Take care of Ngakoue this year. Take care of Miles Jack next year. Take care of Jalen Ramsey after the new CBA. And after he plays on his fifth year option, and you have set your defense up so well for the next 10 years or so or whatever the case may be, to flourish at least on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, let's just look. Let's just imagine this. Telvin Smith is out dealing with personal matters, so there's no way he's stepping on the football field this year. Mm-hmm. So let's just look at this. Let's imagine week one, you roll out the Jaguars defense. You're missing Telvin Smith. You're missing Yannick Ngakoue.
Yeah, that looks like a significantly worse defense. I'm not saying it's an atrocious defense, but yeah, on paper, don't look good.
You think Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Boye are going to be happy? Although you can sit here and say Telvin struggled with the past year, whatever. You think those two are going to be happy knowing that two key parts of the front seven are missing?
Right. Yeah.
And you think Ronnie Harrison is going to be happy on the back end
as a second year player?
Knowing that my job just became a lot more difficult.
Right. Right. It's already hard to play safety in this league as a first or a second year player. That's not making it easier.
Yeah. I mean, everybody praises the Jaguars secondary, which is rightfully so.
Right.
However, a lot of that praise that they receive is due to the work that Yannick puts in, that Calais puts in.
Darius, yep.
Yeah, that Darius put in.
And previously Malik Jackson.
Malik Jackson put in. So that front seven plays a huge part. Miles Jack, they all contribute to Jalen, to Boye, to Ronnie. So I don't know if you want to drag this out. Like you said,
nope.
It probably is closer to being done. So we should probably have something in a week. Everybody will be happy. The point is, Yannick Ngakoue is worth more than $50 million guaranteed. You should pay him at least Marcus Lawrence money. Honestly, I feel like you should pay him more.
Yep.
But here we are.
Yeah, again, and another thing before we move on, he hasn't had the issues that Lawrence and Clark has. He surely hasn't had the off-the-field issues that Clark has. And DeMarcus Lawrence, if I'm not mistaken, was suspended for performance-enhancing, don't quote me on this, but for performance-enhancing drugs or something. Yannick Ngakoue hasn't gone through that. He's been nothing but a good person to the community as well, and he hasn't hurt his team in terms of availability. We're talking about a man who the only game Yannick Ngakoue hasn't started was the game that I just mentioned when Dante Fowler started. Yannick Ngakoue actually was a part of that game. He participated in that game. But since being drafted, Yannick Ngakoue has played in every game since 2016. If that doesn't mark the epitome of what Tom Coughlin represents, and that's availability and being on the field and staying healthy, I don't know what does. So from that perspective alone, and the perspective that he has not been an off-the-field nuisance or issue, get the deal done for the young man. Just get the deal done.
That's pretty much it. I mean, but hey, we shall see if it actually happens, which it should.
Yep.
And then, speaking of money and availability and playing games, our personal favorite, Leonard Fournette.
A guy we talk about a lot on this podcast.
Okay, one, raise your hand if you're surprised that Fournette is still on the roster, given how things looked at the end of last season.
Yeah, I would raise my hand. I'm somewhat surprised.
I'm slightly surprised. I think both me and you stated that we would not be surprised if they managed to move Fournette for something of value at some point, but we also wouldn't be too surprised if he came back.
Right.
So Fournette is on the roster. He's heading in training camp. He looks relatively healthy.
Right.
And that brings us to what are we expecting from Fournette in his third year?
Yep, his third year.
Yep. Because he's missed his years. High ankle sprain has been a recurring injury that has held him back. And I'll just say, I don't expect 16 games out of Leonard Fournette.
Nope.
If you give me 12, anywhere from 12 to 14, I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not
12,
expecting
13 is the sweet spot. Anything more than 13, hey, I'm happy to see you.
Right. Me too. I'll take that from Fournette. 13 games. That's what I'm putting him at. 13 games. And if he made 14 or 15, bro.
Exactly.
I'm good.
Because here's the thing with Fournette. I've said this countless times before. He's an SEC running back. And on top of that, he is an SEC West running back. When they had him, taillights, and Geldon in the backfield, it was all SEC West. It was Auburn, Alabama, LSU.
Mm-hmm.
Three extremely run-heavy schools.
That play against rugged defensive teams like your Georgias of the world, your Alabamas of the world, your LSUs. Yeah. Your top recruiting ranked in terms of defensive recruits, those teams, basically. Exactly.
Like, you're seeing other NFL caliber talent on a regular basis. So, I mean, that mileage, regular mileage, you might look at Fournette and go, oh, he ran for about 4,000 yards or 5,000 yards while he was at LSU. Yeah, that 5,000 is probably closer to about 9,000 in actuality of wear and tear.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting, I think Fournette should come out. I expect 1,000 yards from him this year.
Me too. No, anything if you less mean, is a, it's
a disappointment almost. Yeah. Actually, there's no almost. It is. You are a high first round running back pick, which is rare because you're not Ezekiel Elliott, you're not Saquon, and I can make the argument that those two should not have been such high picks.
True.
Because running backs are a dime a dozen. Need proof? Go look at Melvin Gordon in San Diego. Our friends at the Chargers Wire can tell you all about this. I'm sorry, Los Angeles. They can tell you all about this, of how Melvin's holding out because he wants a new contract, and Melvin might be without a job this year.
Yep. They will surely tell you that for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're a dime a dozen in this league. I don't know how it became this way. I don't know why it's this way. But unfortunately, that is how the league is set up.
Right.
So,
I mean, you look at guys like, you know, even though he's a questionable person off the field, you look at where the Chiefs got Kareem Hunt, third round, you know.
And he's no longer there.
Alvin Kamara, third round pick. Or was it second?
Kareem Hunt was, is with the Browns, and Kamara, I believe.
Yeah, Kamara, I think, was a third round pick. Yeah, I know it wasn't a first round pick.
No.
Let me see.
Alvin Kamara. Third round.
Yeah, so that's proof that, you know, you can get running backs later in the draft. And it, I mean, it's been that way for about 8 years now.
Look at Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook was the second round pick.
Yeah, well, that was kind of because of a knee injury. Or didn't he have a severe injury? No, he wasn't. No, he had off-the-field issues, wasn't it?
Yeah, some things that you could argue about that were questionable. Okay,
so yeah, you're right. He was a second-round pick.
But, I mean, you look at most of the running backs. They're second-round picks. They're third-round picks. They're free agents. They're dime a dozen, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And back to kind of Melvin Gordon, he was a first-round pick. He was a high pick, and he underproduced his first year. He didn't score a single touchdown.
He underproduced his whole year, his whole career, in my opinion. That ain't to disrespect him. I'm just saying, yeah. Like, he hasn't been of a first-round caliber, in my opinion.
Yeah. Given where he was taken, yeah, fair argument. And that's kind of what we're getting with Fournette. He's underproduced. He hasn't been healthy. He's been suspended. He had ankle issues. And he's a running back that plays very, very violently. Like, anytime I think Fournette, I think of that game against the Steelers where he could have easily stepped out of bounds. But instead, he stops. He kind of looks up at the safety and motions like, come on, come hit me. Give me your best shot.
Yep. That guy had it coming, by the way, though, because he had been getting on the Jags' nerves. He had been yapping the whole game. I'm kind of digressing from the point. But I don't know if you remember when we played the Steelers in the playoffs. After that, supposedly, I forget his name, this guy comes to the front of the Jags locker room where the doors are, where the security guards are. He's yelling in the locker room. Basically, I don't know what he said, but probably something to the effect that y'all don't want it with me or this, that, or y'all don't want it with us. Like, that guy had it coming. So, yeah, although Fournette, yeah, that was unnecessary punishment that he dished out. That guy had it coming.
Yeah, but that's just the man. He doesn't shy away from contact. Like,
yeah.
He's not a scat back, so.
Sure.
Yeah. I need 1,000 yards. If you can give me maybe another 300, 200 catching. Mm-hmm. Mainly, I just need you to play at least 12 to 13 games. That's mainly what I expect out of Fournette this year.
Yeah, I mean, like, I would say this too, man. Like, I think he's going to have a better, if he's healthy now, if he definitely can make some money in terms of a passing threat too. Because as we know with John DeFilippo, you know, he's a guy that likes to throw the ball around. And furthermore, Leonard Fournette is I don't know why it's this way, but he's underrated as a pass catcher. People think the man can't catch for some reason, and he showed us in that first year that he's a very good pass catcher. And you know Nick Foles, you know, looking at his pass, is a guy that's going to utilize him as a you know, a pass catcher as well. And I think that's another thing that we might be missing here is we probably, if anything, at worst, we're going to see a better Leonard Fournette in the pass game, utilized in the pass game. But go ahead, my man.
Yeah, I mean, he played at LSU. He didn't have to catch too much at LSU. It is part of his arsenal. Is he an Alvin Kamara or Kareem Hunt? No. But he's a respectable option as a check down or a bailout. So,
right.
Yeah, I need about 200 to 300 yards receiving. Give me 11. Yeah, I'll say 1,000. Give me 1,000 to 1,100 on the field. Rushing. Give me no suspensions for anything stupid and 12 to 13 games. And I'm happy.
Yeah, give me 13 games. Give me roughly what you put up in your rookie year. Give me just over 1,000 yards. Just up that yard per carry rate or that yard per carry number. Up that to 4 or more. Up that a little bit. And just give me the same numbers. Everything that you had in your rookie season, except for your yard per carry average, give me that of 4 or more YPC, and I'm good. I'm good. And play, in terms of the games, playing 13 to 14 games. I'm good with that. And then, I mean, I guess we can't account for the postseason, but in the regular season, give me 13 to 14 games. And that's a successful year for Leonard Fournette for me.
And no off-the-field issues, and I am happy as can be.
Yeah, yeah. Don't get pulled over because you didn't – well, he took care of that. The report said he took care of the ticket and paid he paid the – I guess it was the Duval County traffic system or whatever. I was about to say, don't get pulled over again for something traffic-related or whatever the case. But he took care of that, so he should be good.
Yeah, just don't do anything stupid. That's it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, so that'll do it for episode 44 here. Good job by Jacob there, leading the way. Shout-outs to Phil.
Again, I'm coming for you, Phil.
Who went to NXT, and hopefully he's watching Quality Wrestling. But in terms of the outlets, again, that's iTunes. I keep saying SoundCloud, but we're not on SoundCloud. Stitcher, we are, but it's only a few episodes. Stitchers, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Radio Public, Deezer, Himalaya. So check us out there. Of course, like I said, me and Jacob and Phil are trying to get out to training camp next week and give y'all some, you know, some of our takes and our perspective on what's going on there. Expect plenty more. And I just got a notification that Bobby Wagner just became the highest paid linebacker, ladies and gentlemen. He deserves it. Good job, Bobby Wagner. Now, Jaguars, follow suit and pay Yannick and Ngakoue, please.
Well, are you considering Yannick a linebacker now? So is he going through the Clowney situation?
Oh, that's another situation that they over there trying to lowball a good player. It's no different from what the Jaguars are basically trying to do in nickel and dime a good player, but that's neither here, neither there. We already covered that. But yeah, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Stitcher, iTunes, Himalaya, and many, many other outlets are where you can find us. We definitely will be continuing with the training camp coverage in terms of the Jaguars wire over the next couple of days and whatnot. And yeah, feel free to check us out on our various social media outlets in terms of the latest in Jags news and whether or not Yannick Ngakoue gets signed and when he reports. So take care out there. And Miles Jack, as we always say, was not down.